how do you find what it is God wants you to do? Well, folks, let me just say this. Just like I pray that you're working in a field that you so enjoy, you can't wait to get up and get there every day. And that's, beloved, I've never had a job I didn't love with all my heart. I can't imagine having a job as my father, for instance, did. He worked in a steel mill. Did he work in a steel mill where it was 150 degrees on some occasions, dealing with molten metal that was in the thousands degree Fahrenheit because it was fun? No. It's because that was the only job he could find, and it paid well, and it met the needs of his family. And so out of duty, he kept that job 37 years. Wasn't fun. I can't even hardly imagine that. I've had the privilege of working in a field that I loved. I fell in love with Jesus in college. I remember, I've told you this, first time I ever shared my testimony. I shared it several times, but I went to a church in Houston one Wednesday night, I think it was. Gave my testimony during a revival. The pastor handed me an envelope, and when I walked out the back of the church, it had a check for $25 in it. I went straight through the back doors and down an alley next to the church and fell on my knees and cried. I couldn't believe I could get paid for doing something that I was looking for a place to do it. I wanted somebody to listen to my testimony. And that's been my whole life. I'm still amazed that I make a living doing what I do. It's an amazing thing. And that's, I want that for you. But I'll tell you, if you can't have it when you work, you can certainly have it in your ministry. You ought not let us or anyone ever talk you into doing something that you are not getting joy from doing. Amen? And that's why, I know just a few moments, there's a card handed to you. We're going to walk through. I want you to look around and find out where it is that you can best exhibit the joy of Jesus. And if there's a ministry, we can't find someone that has that, we ought to shelve that ministry until God raises somebody up. There are so many ways to have joy when you come to church, folks. But I'll tell you one way to make church an absolute bore. I can't imagine sitting where you're sitting every Sunday, never doing one thing for Christ. You soon will find preaching so boring that you'll have difficulty staying awake. You know when church became alive for me? When in college I fell in love with Jesus, started sharing my faith with a bunch of lost athletes, and then finally going across the campus with Campus Crusade for Christ and just buttonholing students. Grab that thing so I can call. If you can save everybody's ears. But I remember I started sharing on campus, and I'm telling you, people would ask me questions, and I would suddenly remember Bob Graves spoke about that 3 months ago. Man, I wish I'd have written it down. So I started going to church on a mission. And I would sit in the pews. And man, my wife and others will tell you this. I never listen to a sermon if I have a pen and a paper that I'm not jotting down notes. I did all the time. We have guest preachers here, I do that. Because you know something? You look at my Bibles and you'll find scribbled all over the place notes where somebody else has preached. And you know what? Inevitably, my life will work itself around where I'll need that and be able to share that with somebody else. You know, another passage that comes to mind is found in the 10th chapter of Matthew. It says, when they deliver you up, take no thought what or how you shall speak. For it will be given you in that hour how and what you shall speak, for it will be for the Holy Spirit who lives within you shall give you what it is that you should speak. And he'll draw to remembrance the things you've heard in the past. You've all, if you're saved, had that experience in a limited degree. Have you found yourself somewhere in a debate with somebody that was trying to pick your faith apart? And all of a sudden something would come to you and you couldn't remember where you learned it or where you first read it. But it came through your mouth and you thought, my soul. And it was exactly what needed to be said. That can't happen if you're not putting yourself in a position to be a receptacle of truth. But God never intended for any of us to simply sit and soak. Christianity is not a spectator sport. You know the difference, and this illustration is as old as the Dead Sea, but it never gets old for bearing truth. The only difference in the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea, they're both fed by the same identical Jordan River. The Sea of Galilee is a bubbling brook of life, fresh water, as clear and clean as it can be. And the Dead Sea, also fed by the Jordan River, is a place where nothing can live because the salt content is so intense that literally it kills everything in it. And the difference is the Sea of Galilee both receives and gives, and the Dead Sea just gets. And beloved, if you want to become a sour, pain in the neck kind of Christian, if you want to be on that list where when a criticism comes back and somebody in leadership says, well, we kind of expected that, that's what they always say, just sit there and do nothing. Why are y'all giggling over here? Leadership shouldn't giggle. And I'm not picking folks. But nobody should want to be on that list. Amen? And yet, you know, don't let that ever stifle you. If you have a legitimate criticism or observation, we need that. But some people feel like they have a ministry of criticism. That's what God called them to do. To sit around and no matter what else happens, find the one little thing that's wrong and point that out. Now, folks, if you find something wrong, help us fix it. Amen? All right. Now let's walk through this outline. Because it has to do with finding out what it is that you would be best at. In the first place, shape. Go ahead and fill in the words. Spiritual gifts, heart, abilities or aptitudes, personality, and experience. Thank you all for doing that. There it is. Spiritual gifts, heart, abilities, personality, and experiences. Now, you know how to find your place in the church? How to find where you fit the best? And we may have to create something tailor-made around you because you may have some very unique talents. I'll tell you, when I see Dave Watson, he's the perfect illustration of that. He has some very unique talents. But what better place for them to be used than in this church? And in churches in general across the country for that matter. You have talents. But in the first place, if you were saved, God gave you spiritual giftedness. 1 Corinthians 7:7, just a portion of it. I took this verse a little out of context, but the truth is very valid and very applicable. But each man has his own gift from God. One has this gift, another has that gift. Paul was writing specifically about the gift of celibacy. He was talking about how some men need to get married and other men don't. But understand this. The truth of that has to do with all kinds. God didn't call you to preach, perhaps. Maybe he did. God may have called you to something that we've never even defined as a normal church ministry. I will never forget and always be grateful for the day Tammy in the church at Pearland came up and said, I want to start an Isaiah ministry to broken lives. And I said, well, say more. She said, I've had 3 abortions before I got saved. I now live in grief over the lost children that I could have known, but I aborted because I didn't know the truth. And that wonderful, godly mother and wife started a ministry to help women recover from abortions. And we had hundreds of women over time who were ministered to through her hands. And once a year during the Abortion Holocaust Sunday that we commemorate around the 22nd of January every year, we had a private service. We put a casket down at the front of our church. And then we put all these baby dolls where these precious mothers who had aborted their children before Jesus and in some cases after Jesus could take those baby dolls, dedicate them to Christ and lay them in that casket and have a proper funeral for what was discarded as just so much tissue blob. And we saw so many ladies healed. And a whole ministry evolved out of that one lady's life. I would to God we could find out what it is that God's calling you to do and then just turn you loose. My job ought to be to equip you and turn you loose. Romans 12, look at verse 3. For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. I'm reading in Romans 12, verse 3 and following. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace God has given to us. Every one of you have a gift. Every one of you have been spiritually endowed for spiritual service. It may be the gift of teaching. I believe that Dr. Odunuga clearly has the gift of teaching. And I'm telling you, men, you know, we started with 12 and 13 in that class. It's fallen down to a handful, and that is a tragedy. You men ought to take the time to expose yourself to this man's giftedness, because if you don't, we don't use the gifts God's given us, God will take them away. Sister Janari is another one who has been gifted to teach. I think she has a pastoral gift, to be honest. Oh, heaven forbid. The office of pastor, she does not have. But she has a pastoral gift. Because I have watched her go into places with strangers and minister to them, one being my father-in-law. And just pray and minister. And he still talks about her ministry. Minister because of her love for anyone who's hurting. We ought to be affording ourselves those opportunities, or God will take them away, folks, if we don't richly treasure those who have those gifts. God will remove them from our presence. Now look, not only spiritual gifts, but your heart. Ezekiel 36:26 says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. Revelation 17:7 says, for God has put into their hearts, it has put it into their hearts to do his purposes. Look at Philippians 2:13, and this is a great verse. It is God who both works the will and to do his good pleasure in you. You know that desire you have, that heart, to do certain things? Don't take credit for that. Don't think of yourself more higher than you ought to think. It's God that put that in you. And don't judge others who don't have the same heart. You know, some people have a gift of hospitality. I mean, they've never met a stranger, and they ought to be part of our usher and greeting ministry. Now, that shouldn't be the only thing they do, but that's certainly a place to plug that gift in. You know, I'd like to see the day when we'd start delivering gifts to everybody that moves into Nacogdoches County. They get here, a week later they hear from Harvest Point. And people with a gift of hospitality are perfect for that. You have certain things that God has just made in your heart easy and natural to do. You have a heart for certain things. You have a heart to help. You have a heart to serve. Beloved, part of finding out where you fit in God's kingdom is discovering your heart and letting God reveal to you what it is that he is especially doing so you can do that for his glory. The abilities and aptitudes that you have. Exodus. I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with skill, ability, and knowledge of all kinds of crafts. In its context, it's talking about the skilled craftsmen who built the tabernacle. And Moses is relating how God has given men certain abilities, skills, and crafts. You know something, gentlemen, ladies? Certain ones of you have incredible gifts that others don't possess. Many of you have met Marshall Eggers' wife, Terrell Eggers' mother. And if you've met her, you've been blessed by her. Karen Eggers, she's a gourmet cook. She's a seamstress with few peers. She is also a servant unto the Lord. And I'm telling you, this woman will work tireless taking those gifts that other people just ignore and using them for the glory of God. Our kids, she was going to prepare the food for the kids. Did she actually do that? Our kids drove off from here yesterday, loaded down. I didn't see it, but I can only imagine because I've been around Karen for, she was in my church for the 12 years I pastored in Pearland. And I'm telling you, you've never sat down to a meal like this woman can prepare. When we would do our pageants and special plays, we would dream some fanciful dream. And the next thing we would know, everybody in the all 100 cast members would have uniforms and regalia and all kinds of splendid costumes that she and her skilled assistants would literally sew on the spot right up until the time we gave the first performance. What is your ability and special gift? Where is it that you can plug into? We have instrumentalists, we have musicians that have never been on this platform once. Now listen carefully. I'm not going to stick you up here to perform just because you want to perform. I want to see you love Jesus first. I want to see you faithfully serving the Lord in quiet and obscurity. But when we find out you have those gifts, and if you let us know you have those gifts, you believe me, if we know the life is commensurate with the gift, and we know we can turn you loose in the general public and you reflect the same Christ you do up to the platform, we'll sing you to death. This is not a place for performance, folks. It's a place, though, for those of you that have gifts and talents. Instrumentalists, I don't believe it's quite as important because they're not vocalizing what they pretend to believe. But if you can play a guitar or drums or something, we want to know that. I mean, we now have a skilled musician who has taken very basic tools and gifts of people and brought them together and put together a fine ministry band. Who knows what he could do if some people would surface in this church over the next 2 months? And he's going to work with some of your kids who are already doing that on their own out there in the youth building. We want to find out what your ability, your aptitude is. God knows we need more people back here. I want all of you to work in our technical department. There are 5 of them back there. That's why we enlarged it. But just stand up where they can see more than the top of your head. Would y'all just kind of get up? I know it's hard because all of you are busy doing something. But I want you to look at this crew, folks. You don't know. They're here at 7:30 every Sunday. They're working long after you leave. They're multiplying the ministry of this church. The overheads don't just happen because somebody thought it was a good idea, folks. I'm always amazed at the above and beyond work of those blessed people back there. You know, some of you have aptitude. Like just recently, we added a cameraman. What is it that God's calling you to do? Bobby said, Rick, Pastor, I want to do something. I said, well, have you ever worked cameras? No, but I can learn it. There he is. Oh, folks, listen. What is it God's calling you to do? Personality. You know, we all have different personalities. There's a verse there for that. Let me read it. 1 Corinthians 2:11. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. You know, we call that inner you, your personality. Do you know certain personalities are good for some things and some are good for other things? And a lot of what you should be doing is evidenced by what makes you tick. Some people are out front people and some people just rather be in a cubicle and never have their name in print at all. You know, some people get mad if I don't mention their name and some people get mad if I do. Different personalities. But when you look at that card in the moment, think about that. Help us put you where you can serve God effectively. Finally, your experience. Proverbs 4:13, hold on to instruction. Do not let it go. Guard it well. It is the wellspring of life. You know something, folks? You are who you are because of all your experiences in life. For good and for bad. Do you know what made Tammy so effective with women of abortion? There was not an ounce of condemnation in her life because she'd been there. And you know what? While she tells you to this day, she regrets that she aborted 3 youngsters. There's a side of her that says, but by God's grace, I've been delivered. They're in heaven. They're better care than I would have ever given them. And now I can minister to others. What Satan meant for evil, God always means for what? That's right. I don't care where you've been. I mean, up till now, it may have been a mess. But even the worst tragedies of your life can become the platform from which you speak. That's why when Moses was out there on the backside of a desert having completely blown his assignment with murder, God looked at him and said, what you got in your hand? He said, well, I have a staff. He said, well, throw it down. It became a snake. Then God said, pick it up, and it became a staff, the staff of God. You see, folks, some of you are holding potential snakes. The things you're holding on to are going to kill you if you don't lay them down. But it may be that very sin pattern, that very sin past, that if you ever laid it down at the foot of the cross, God would give it back to you and say, now you can take it and even talk about it to the glory of God, helping others in a similar plight. Would you take those manila cards that were inserted in all your worship guides? And somebody may want to grab a few in case there's some that don't have one. Some families just get one and that means it'd just be one among 2 or 3 people, perhaps. And we want everybody in the church that's here that even remotely thinks they might ever join to have one. We're not going to take time to fill this out today, I had intended to, but it's already 11 minutes till 12. And so we just can't. Well, I regret this too. If you really love the church, love the Lord, and remotely love me, fill this out before you leave. But I'm not making you. Not making you. Because I know we have Father's Day and a lot of scheduled activities. But there, it really is mind-bending when you think about all the potential for ministry. Let me just walk you through it. Preaching and discipleship. That's my primary area to oversee. You may be a gifted lay preacher and I not know it. Check that. Let me know that. You ever been involved in drama? I'm sure we've got some drama majors that we don't know about. I would love to have illustrated sermons, as we did often in Pearland. But it takes people to orchestrate that. Public awareness team, public policy awareness team. I want to have a group of people who monitor what's happening in the nation. And without me ever having to say something about it, they just get word to Janice. We have it in the worship guide. And we say, this is a call you need to make. This is the time you do it. Somebody who will assist the pastor keeping our church aware of political issues that involve us morally or otherwise. Small group leaders. You know that we've talked about it. We've got to find people who are willing to open their homes and say, we would like to have a Bible study in our house because eventually we want to have 100 small groups all over 3 counties for that matter. Worship and media ministries. The praise team. I'd like to have 10 or 15 singers up here. We right now have 4 to 5. Instruments. More the better. Is that right, Drew? And Drew said he'd teach you everything he knows at free of charge. But we want to find those who have gifts, giftedness in instrumentation. Soloists, quartets, ensembles, etc. Sound technicians, camera, PowerPoint, DVD, CD, duplication. And then in a lot of these, we put the word other. You know why? Because there's things we haven't thought about that you've thought about that you're willing to help us with. So just write it down and then on the back, write down what it is that you're thinking about. Student ministries, Bible study, student ministry, music ministry, technical support. They're doing everything on Wednesday night we're doing here on Sunday morning, and they need all the same kinds of assistance. Children's ministry, you can see the list. Does Awana's need some help, Billy? I'm telling you, we got 30 or 40 kids come up here that want to say Bible verses and nobody to say them to, and we can always use help in that area. Senior adult ministry. We call our monthly luncheon group the Better Than Ever Bunch. And perhaps you've never been one time. Or perhaps you could serve those folks as a younger person. Ladies ministry, men's ministry, service ministries. Now here's something I want to hit in these closing minutes. I want to develop 2 new intercessory ministries. And you might be the one that would say, I can head that up. Every Sunday when I preached in Pearland for 12 years, there was a small group of men and never the same that rotated. They were in my study on their knees when I was preaching. Every Sunday morning. And you know something? God would put things in their heart to pray for me that I would never have thought of. And I sensed God's power and flow because those men were on their knees praying for me. In this church, I wouldn't mind at all having teams where there were 2 men and 1 lady or 2 ladies and 1 man. We would never allow 1 woman and 1 man back there for reasons that we won't discuss. But the ideal for that, I believe, is for godly men to be doing it. We may want to have teams of 3 men 1 week and 3 ladies the next week. If you're interested in that, let me know that. And then that expression, keepers of the hedge. Do you know where that's taken from? Remember it talks about the hedge that God put around Job that Satan could not impregnate without God's permission. We want to build an intercessory prayer ministry in this church. It won't be sophisticated as we could in larger churches where we had enough people to pray around the clock. But what we could have is 20 or 30 people, 10 or 12 people, who would be willing whenever an emergency arises to be called, if necessary, in the middle of the night, who will commit to drop to their knees, pray for that request, call the next person on the list and call the list until somebody answers their phone. And then you can go back to bed and the next person prays and then calls until they might get all the way around to the same person again. But we want a group of people who will pray for the emergencies that happen that don't necessarily happen when we expect them. That's the definition of an emergency, by the way. prayer ministries that we're going to form. Then ministry teams, there are four of them. You know, I didn't even know we had a missions team. That's not their fault. That's my fault. But this next year, the missions team is going to have a budget to manage and a responsibility. And we want to replenish every one of those teams. If you want to serve in the finance ministry area, but check that off. If you want to be in the personnel ministry area, check that off. Missions ministry area, check that off. Benevolence ministry area, including taking tapes to shut-ins and things we haven't done in the past. We want to know who you are. Now, folks, if you can't find something on that page, then write in the last two lines something we didn't think about. But there is a place for every believer to serve God if you choose. You know what? This church will mean something to you when you invest more than an hour and a half on Sunday morning. Amen? I'm asking you to consider what it is God has called you to do. Amen? Father, I ask you in Jesus' name to take what is in some ways a perfunctory message and make it real and relevant to the changing of lives. And I pray that in Jesus' name, amen. There won't be a formal invitation this morning. This